Hawk's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Hour number two begins right now. Thanks for enduring the first hour. Text line need to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Dick Brubaker in about 30 minutes, probably a little more of an unsettling take on our prison. What did they call it? I can't call it like the Correctional Borrowing Authority or whatever it is. The Alabama Corrections Institution Finance Authority, but adding $195 million in bonding capacity because they have spent the first $1.2 billion so wisely. So what are we up to? A grand tally of like $1.4 billion. 1.5. This price tag is going to keep going up. $195 million is a lot, but I was expecting a much higher tag. It's got to be. It's the first prison cost $1.2 billion. The second prison, what do we think the price tag on that is? Well, that being said, with that price tag in effect, doesn't that mean that it has to cost somewhere in that neighborhood? Unless something just went wrong that they weren't divulging us about the Elmore County facility. So we'll talk to Senator Brubaker. We'll absolutely ask Senator Elliott, if you're out there listening, about what he thinks about this latest development in Alabama politics. As we talked about a few other things, spill time on the NCAA. And like I said, I think that these problems persist. It kicks it up to a higher level. I know, like, yeah, we don't need to mix politics and sports, but the it takes, especially with the courts so involved, you're already in that political realm. You can't let the courts just try to take existing law that wasn't never really meant to address college athletics and try to patchwork some kind of solution. There just needs to be the definitive answer from the legislative branch, I believe. But the fact that it has not happened, because it has not happened, is just, it's a lesson in how feckless Congress can be right now in this, this time of political gridlock in America. We can't even agree on how to govern college athletics. But does it become a wedge issue? Maybe. These elections, I'm thinking about it, like things that seem small to us in these discussions right now on local talk radio in Mobile, Alabama. But things are decided on the margins, guys, in a lot of congressional districts. So do you think the lawmaker from Knoxville, Tennessee, isn't interested in this? Or South Bend, Indiana? Happy Valley, Pennsylvania? Where that is, it's a congressional district. Maybe it's a rural congressional district. Generally speaking, Mike Rogers' district, Terry Sewell's district, whatever. I mean, generally a rural district. And you ask them, like, what are the five biggest things? And, if among those five is your college, your university, and it happens to be one of these powerhouse football programs, in some places in America, that's going to be like one of the top issues on the minds of voters. Maybe not in Mobile, Alabama. Maybe Mobile more than some other places, certainly more than New York City or Chicago or New Mexico or, but We're deciding the balance of power in our federal government just by a few votes here and there in these swing elections. So every issue, as seemingly minor as it may be, is amplified because all 435 members of the House of Representatives matters. Now, some of those are bright red or bright blue, you know, but if it comes down to a primary vote or a Tea Party or a Freedom Caucus guy or just an average establishment Republican. Plus, there's this general sense that, I think this is so true in politics, and it's so disregarded, by the keep the sports ball out of my politics and keep the politics out of my sports ball guys. But politics is downstream from culture. And the main cultural engine in your community is your college athletics. It's no small deal. We can't be dismissive of that. What matters to people and what motivates them to vote and what motivates them to get engaged in the civic process, because their vote counts. It's democracy. Anyway, enough of that, but we talked about that in the first hour. Anybody excited as I am about the Lake America? At least I guess they call it the Lake of America. I don't know. I think Trump's kind of trolling the Canadians here. Let's go through some text because we got a bunch here. Rick, we'll start with you. Hey, Jeff, look. The issues of Pritchard will never get resolved with any kind of local politicians are too stupid and biased. The only prayer for that, have a remote chance to reemerge as a place where citizens would maybe think about driving through that city, let alone having places to be able to draw citizens to an establishment to generate tax income. They need a city manager, one that is not local, one that would be allowed to run the city without local interference or political pressure. Said manager would be on a long-term contract without the possibility of being terminated, and make it where the local county commission would be the only ones allowed to institute the possibility of terminating said manager, and it would have to be a unanimous vote from said county commission. No way that's ever going to happen. We have a lot of self-determination. I mean, elections have consequences. Rick, I'm sorry, that maybe the voters there you don't have much confidence in to vote for the right people to do the right thing. But, I suppose a court could order something to happen if things fall on hard times, and it would essentially be a police force made up of the National Guard or whatever, because the whole government's collapsed. But it's just like when we were doing school choice and people saying, well, zip code should not determine outcome. But the people in that zip code are responsible for that school system. They pay the taxes or they choose not to pay the taxes. They elect the school boards. There's a self-determination there. We can't just deem a city unacceptable. We don't, you do have to respect the will of the voters, and I guess that's a big part of it. Name texture, unfortunately, we give them rights. They don't deserve it. They have given those away. Prisons should be deplorable. Maybe less people would be in those prisons. Yeah, I understand the sentiment, but you have an Eighth Amendment of the Constitution. No cruel and unusual punishment. Now, here's the deal with that. Federal courts get to determine what is cruel and what is unusual and what violates the Eighth Amendment. Judges do, unelected judges. That's our system. May not like it, but that's our system. You constitutional conservatives out there, First, Second Amendment types, Fourth Amendment types here lately, guess what? That Eighth Amendment matters just as much. And that's where the prison discussion gets tricky. You can't just, You can't just neglect the incarcerated. If you want to do, I mean, if you, and I understand the sentiment, my name texter, then repeal the Eighth Amendment. Mr. Doug, if more politicians get put in prison, we might finally get good prisons. Well, you know, it's just, this should have been done during Bentley and the legislature punted. As soon as Bentley had his troubles with Rebecca Mason and all of that, the legislature backed down and did not go forward with the prison plan. John, home rule, question mark. If you like states' rights, then you should like some level of home rule. I agree, but my guess is, I mean, I think this state-heavy approach regarding counties and municipalities, it's a product of the last century. You know? Some of it's civil rights. Some of it was like just flat-out race politics. But we've never gotten past that. But that's the system we have, and you have to operate within the confines of the system. So home rule. And then, you know, it's funny, like, because Rick was talking about how they didn't deserve home rule, and Pritchard. They can't take care of themselves. Hey, you know, and maybe that's the argument to be made here. That if we're going to have a top-heavy state government that's going to insist on putting boundaries for local and county governments, what they can and can't do, then we, as the state of Alabama, the entire state, since we're going to meddle in the other jurisdictions, even if it's local legislation, and I get it, a lot of lawmakers don't vote on local bills that aren't pertinent to their districts. But it's still an act of the legislature. Even if you don't vote, you are consenting with the power of the legislature to the local delegation. But that's what we're going to operate under. If we're going to have a top-heavy state approach, then they have to go make sure they're taking care of Pritchard, Lowndes County, Wilcox County, Selma, Bessemer. That's just the way it's got to be. It's almost as if the state gets it both ways. Well, you know, those guys at Pritchard, this is just how they chose to who they elected, and nothing we could do about it. A name texture. Could somebody tell me why the state is building a path on 98 from Weeks Bay Bridge north? For at least 3 miles, and densely populated, not wide enough for an auto lane, just a golf cart or walking. The cost of equipment, supplies, and man hours spent for what? Somewhere along the way, there's some Go Mesa money or some kind of federal money that had very narrowly defined requirements. And they would probably tell you this, too. Well, it's going to bring tourists to that area. I guess bird watchers on bicycles. I don't know. But that's what the money was earmarked for, and that's the way it has to be used. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. I don't even know. And offers coming over the phone. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Hey, just staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Let us know what's on your mind there. Fire Dog, Strait of Hormuz, Strait of Reagan, South Pacific, Trump Pacific, Strait of Magnolia, Strait of Melania. There is an emphasis on naming these geographic locations, it seems. Mike, if you consider Iran a terrorist state, and I do, you should look at what Israel is doing and has done and see they are as well. 99% of supporters only see Fox and Newsmax reports as valid instead of actually seeing the thousands of instances of women and children, both Christian and Muslim, that Israel has murdered over just the last couple of years. Toothless Bammer, don't know if you saw this, Jeff. A parish in Louisiana that has data center was able to give out huge bonuses to school teachers. Bonuses are tied with sales tax revenue. Some got over $50,000. That doubles their salary. I doubt you're going to get something that generous in Alabama. State will get its cut. Then Brandon says, maybe Coach can send the National Guard. I think Coach is going to do a lot of that. That's my sense, just talking to him and just hearing some of the reports that are out there, that you're going to see a more proactive approach than this governor. I think maybe Ivy is, I don't know, maybe there's some sort of wink and nod with Mayor Reed in Montgomery. The other Big Ten mayors probably don't like that precedent that it might create. Ultra Runner. Hey, now, easy on cyclists and bird watchers. We rank low on violent crime and high on tax revenue. But that's what I'm saying. It is going to be promoted, the bike trail or whatever, as a tourist thing, a very flourishing tourist economy in South Alabama. Jerry, thanks for the report from the Queers for Palestine, Mike. Well, yeah, you're lighting a fuse there, Jerry. We know where Mike is. He's not a fan of Israel. Hey, you know, though, Mike, the October 7th attack, I think that maybe that was a response to something in Gaza, but that sort of set off a lot of this. And you do hear some frustration out of the Trump administration leaking out with the Netanyahu government. I just don't think the Netanyahu government, we're just going to have to wait out. It's not going to be around forever. One more here. Dave, did the modern GOP learn anything of their populism from George Cornwell Wallace? I think Wallace would clearly be in the GOP today. I don't. I mean, and this is a Democrat talking point. When they attack Republicans, they flash up a picture of George Wallace. Wallace's populism was not, I mean, it was rooted in cultural appeal, but there was a lot of kind of big government handouts, pro-labor union, sort of things that are vestiges of the modern Democratic Party. Spending, you know, looking at government as, and listen, the GOP in the state does a lot of this, but the two-year college program, the prisons, and taking prison, a court order from Frank Johnson in Montgomery, in the middle district there, to improve your prisons and turning it into a jobs program and putting prisons in his hometown to spur some kind of economic growth. My name is Texture. You act as a Tuberville is already governor. We still have an election pending, or has that been suspended? If you think Doug Jones is going to win, let me know what you're smoking. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. The whole world called me Hank. You said, Ripper, can you make folks cry when you play and sing? to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. If you want to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Be in touch with the program. Text me, and they're already lining up in my inbox here, so we'll get to those over the course of the program. Joining us now, regular on this show, we always appreciate his time. I thought it'd be appropriate to get him on. As you know, another day, another $195 million allotted through the authority of the Alabama legislature by extension of the something very Orwellian known as the let's see here, make sure I get this right, the Alabama Corrections Institution Finance Authority yesterday. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Man, I am bemused. I am grateful to be on your show, because what's happening now is, you know, Kay Ivey's got 5 months left in, what, 5 months left in office? So all the pigs are rushing to the trough to get one more big meal before we get an activist governor in, whether it's Tommy Tuberville or Doug Jones. But they don't want to miss their chance with 5 more months left of an absentee governor. So they're getting busy.
Yeah. And like, who's really making these decisions? That bothers me, but apparently it doesn't bother enough people, because it doesn't seem to come up that much with anything. But such as it is, here we are, these prisons. I mean, Senator, $195 million for a prison is supposed to be a mirror image of the one in Elmore County that costs $1.2 billion. There's going to be this seems like a drop in the bucket here. What's to come?
Well, this is pretty typical of what happens when, you know, there's nobody watching the store. I mean, this is, and the legislature's out of session, and you've got guys that are pretty sure no one's going to hold them accountable for anything they do. And, you know, when you speak of new prisons in Alabama, remember, all this got started with a no-bid contract to a local construction company. And originally, that $1.2 billion prison in Elmore County was going to cost $600 million. That's what they originally told the legislature. And now we're up to, I mean, this is nuts.
There's all kinds of theory. And I, you know, perhaps we can accept that there has been an increase in the cost and the change in the scope. I mean, first of all, the change in the scope is what kind of puzzles me. And then this is what they're telling us. It's inflation, and then they had to add a bunch of stuff to it. Why are we adding? Like, when did we decide we were going to put in all these bells and whistles and not just we're housing prisoners? We want to get out of the threat of an Eighth Amendment violation. But apparently a part of that, well, we had to do all this other stuff too. We don't want recidivism. We want these guys to continue to be, you know, get them engaged enough so that they're productive citizens when they get let out. Well, we can do that. But let's get these prisons built first and get out of the threat of the federal government.
As far as the Eighth Amendment violation.
Senator, you may have muted yourself. Senator? Yeah, we can't hear you on your end, whatever's going on there. Anyway, 251-343-0106 as I attempt to call back our guest, Dick Brubaker. And if you weren't paying any attention, just yesterday, the Alabama Corrections Institute Finance Authority, which is a an entity that was, I guess, empowered by the Alabama legislature, to they increased the borrowing ceiling on the on what could be borrowed and spent for prison construction. So we were discussing that, and as I told him, I was like, hey, you know, I think that this may be, Senator, this $195 million may just be enough to get to the end of the Ivey administration. And then they're going to just pass it off to Trump, Tuberville.
Well, look, we're not adding any beds to the system. I mean, that's what's so crazy about this. You would think that after spending $1.4 million after this latest injection on new prisons, we would have added beds. But by the time they get through phasing out the old prisons, we're going to have the same number of beds we got now. They'll just be nicer beds.
Yeah, with the air conditioning.
I mean, this apparently. Is crazy. But apparently, you know, it's just other than talk radio, who's going to talk about it? And so you've got a bunch of appointed officials, mostly, who are just going to, if the taxpayers aren't going to watch their money, these people are going to take it. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, because the way this kind of came about, we got wind of this meeting earlier this week. And I'm going to tell you this, like the on the agenda we knew was this ask to increase the borrowing capacity. They would not tell us. They would not tell us.
Well, of course not.
And but, my suspicion on that is, well, they were worried that if this kind of got out and then it started generating some publicity, then people might start pushing back against it. And so the way they have to operate, they operate in secrecy, don't allow any opposition to get rallied up, and then they just do it. And then, oh, well, too bad. It just happened.
Well, that's exactly right. And it, like in this past, these same guys that run the legislature right now, all the controversial bills like taking veterans affairs away from veterans and giving it to a political appointee, they didn't have any public hearings. They refused to. They rammed it through committee so fast that nobody could ask for a public hearing. They don't want the public to know what they're doing. And they've gotten very good at making sure the public doesn't know.
Yeah, but they talk about it all the time. I mean, that's the Public Service Commission restructuring is another great example of this.
Oh, yeah.
Heading into the 2026 session, was this on anybody's radar? No. And
of course not.
We get halfway through the session. We wait till after qualifying, like a week after qualifying closes in the primaries. And our whenever the primary, you know, whenever all that was set, they had an idea of who was going to be the nominees in the parties to spring this on us. I that's bad government, but they know exactly what they're doing, and they're just not being forthright with it.
Well, here's the thing. They don't care. And, you know, the Republicans may be in trouble this election. I think Tommy Tuberville is going to be a great governor, but I need him to start campaigning. Because Doug Jones is everywhere. And I haven't seen, except for small donor groups, I'm not seeing Tommy's, I'm not seeing signs, I'm not hearing anything on the radio. And I just hope that Governor Tuberville, I mean, Coach Tuberville, is going to actually act like a candidate who doesn't have this thing sewn up. Because, you know, if the turnout's low enough, anything can happen. And Doug Jones already proven that Republicans can screw up bad enough to actually lose a statewide race. And, you know, he beat Roy Moore, and he thinks he can catch lightning in a bottle twice.
Well,
and in the second district, I mean, let's face it, we've got a second district congressional candidate who only got half the votes, and half the Republicans who voted in the primary wanted someone else. And the Republicans may have a bad election night if they don't wake up and smell the coffee.
Coach is speaking to a lot of these. It's like the North or the Limestone County, Athens Chamber of Commerce, these groups like that.
Good.
But you're right. There's not this there's not a lot of grassrootsy kind of campaigning. It's to the civic organizations, which is fine.
Yeah, and that's and not important. The people that are mad at the Republican Party right now isn't the Republican Party establishment. It's not the people on county executive committees. It's regular people who think they're paying too much for gas, who are also veterans who realize that the Republicans, at least the Republicans in the legislature, had so little respect for Alabama veterans that they took Veterans Affairs and just handed it to a political appointee. And that and the PSC, I mean, there are a lot of people that are Republicans who are plugged in, aren't real happy with the actions Republican elected officials have taken lately. And that goes all the way from President Trump with this Iran thing. If, I don't know if you saw his latest polls. People, even people that like Trump a lot, don't like this Iran war. And I just think Republicans need to find themselves again. They need to go back to small government and individual liberty and the things that people that vote Republican care most about.
Well, I think Tuberville, here's what he's doing, and you know, some of it's kind of clever, I guess, but I mean, like, he's really playing into issues and like Islamic extremism and things like that. Like, he's paying lip service to that, and it's getting the attention of El Said up in Michigan, and he's making comments about Tommy Tuberville, that maybe that's how he checks the box on sort of grassroots conservatism. I don't know. But I think you're right. There needs to be there's no reason to volunteer your support for data centers being built in Alabama. You gotta kind of read the room a little bit better, I believe.
Well, Republican voter performance has been declining over the last couple of quadrennials, and we've talked about this before. And I think a lot of rank and file Republicans are getting to the point where they just don't think their vote matters very much. And so they're just tending not to vote. And it doesn't take a huge swing for that to cost you close elections like District 2. And Tommy Tuberville is the kind of candidate who can get our voter performance back up, but he needs to get out there and get on the – I mean, I just hope he'll get on the stump and deliver the message that – regular working family conservatives want to hear, because all the legislature is completely ignoring working Alabamians. I mean, if you're just a regular Alabamian who's a veteran or a retiree, worried about your power bill, worried about your gas tax, what you pay for gasoline, the Republican dominated legislature doesn't give a damn about you, and they have proven that. What we need is new party leadership to turn that around. And Coach Tuberville can be that guy. I just hope he will, during this campaigning season, start talking about that stuff. Let's bring Republicanism back to what it was.
Yeah, I mean, there's a clear, tangible populist sentiment in the country right now. And
I hope so.
Well, but the problem with that is not necessarily in Alabama at all, but the socialism has to come into fill that void. But I would say
socialism, and if the Republicans are just going to be representing the oligarchy, you're going to feed the fire of socialism. That's why we need, you know, liberty and small government. That's how you fight socialism, not by being oligarchs.
No, and we have an oligarchy problem in Alabama for sure. But
yes, we do. Amen to that.
The pressing issue is people seem to just kind of, okay, whatever, shrug it off. And, one day all of this stuff is going to add up. And I still think someday, Senator, there will be that populist reaction.
I think there will be. When people realize that the Republicans, especially legislative Republicans, just aren't on their side, Alabama voters are perfectly willing, as they proved when Charlie Grady got thrown off the ticket. You know, those were conservative Democrats who had voted Democrat all their life. And just to teach the Democrat Party better manners, they elected Guy Hunt. And if Republicans think that can't happen to them, they've lost their minds.
Yeah, but it's got to happen within the Republican Party. And I would say this, too. You know, like, your heyday in the legislature, there was kind of a row of guys who would gum up the works if necessary.
Oh, yeah, we stopped and there were 11 of us.
They don't really have that right now.
No, they don't. What you've got is a bunch of people totally committed to the big economic interests in Alabama. And the night they passed the gas tax, one of the road lobbyists, I'll tell you who it is off the air if you want to know, after they were celebrating, he calls me at 1 o'clock in the morning, drunk off his mind, and goes, "Hey, Brubaker, we're all just drinking to the fact that you're not in the legislature anymore." And because they had finally managed to pass their gas tax. Well, me and my 11 conservative buddies in the state Senate have been killing it every year.
Yeah.
So they elected a bunch of people that were willing to raise taxes.
Well,
and
it's
different now.
It's what's going to happen is they can hold it off for, you know, maybe in the immediate future. But at some point, that pendulum is going to swing the other way. And, you know, that's when it gets dicey. If it does it under Tuberville, the trough, as you said earlier, it's not going to be there at all. It's not going to be this incrementalism that we've been seeing. It's going to be one fell swoop. And I just at some point that will happen. I don't know when, but I don't feel like this sort of arrangement lasts forever.
No, I agree with you. I think eventually the Alabama, just regular working Alabamians, are going to realize who's on their side and who's not, and they're going to vote that way. Right now, the Republicans are getting the pass because of the popularity of Trump. But when Trump's not in office anymore, and we're back to voting on just Alabama issues, I mean, you may see it this election cycle. I mean, Shamari Figures could very well beat Rick. Brett Marcus.
Yeah.
Well, but we'll see.
Senator, we
I
got,
hope not, but we'll see.
We got to leave it there, but you're always very kind to make time for the show. We'll do it again soon.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Former State Senator Dick Brubaker. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. Jason, good morning, Jeff. Anyone thinking Doug Jones is a shot must be hanging out at the new pot shop in Talladega. Still don't know how we allowed that garbage to get started. Well, the medical marijuana, 2019. It's 2026, and we're finally have one. But it's just kind of funny. We did this out of like a compassionate, a plea for compassion that this was an alternative medicine, and you know. It's obviously like, oh, we're going to put all these things in place to make sure that it doesn't become recreational use. It's just medical use. Okay. But ultimately, this is the foot in the door. This is why there was such a scrum to get in, you know, and you get in the game here and the fight over. They did it in the most Alabama way possible, but it was tied down, bogged down in lawsuits. And The marijuana people aren't fools. They see eventually the possibility that the recreational pot use could become something acceptable in Alabama like it is in a lot of other states. That's how it happened, though, under the auspices of we were trying to help people deal with pain and pain management and sick people. So that's, you know, the tug on the heartstrings, and then that's what you get. B-Dark Jeff, I've seen tons of Doug Jones signs. One Tuberville sign of South Baldwin. Everyone I talk to can't stand either one of them. I've seen a lot of Doug Jones signs in Fruit Nut here in Fairhope. But I'm starting to see more and more Tuberville signs. It's almost as if there's this reaction to the Doug Jones signs. And this is, you know, a blue-ish neighborhood I live in. I'm sure some of you at Spring Hill or Midtown probably are seeing the same thing. But how about this? There were a lot of Doug Jones signs the last time he ran against Tommy Tuberville. And those signs didn't win the election for Tuberville. It'll be closer. I'm still not there on that possibility of Governor Doug Jones. We'll see. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.